Admiral's war chest going to look to make history later this afternoon. We'll have our coverage 5 Eastern here on the network. You can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. But here's a horse that, look, if he can pull it off, he won't be the first horse to win the Classic 3 times, but he will be the first to do it in 3 consecutive years, and he looks tough in there again today.
Yeah, he's had his prep race and showed good speed, got a little tired, should be a lot fitter for the experience, and he's a horse that likes to win races. He's 5 for 21 lifetime, made $303,000.
Yeah, Corby Caezo, his trainer, is with us now here on HRRN. Corby, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Are you ready to make some history?
We're going to try our best.
How cool would it be? I mean, here he is, a 6-year-old Maryland bred. I mean, how neat would it be to win this race 3 consecutive years?
Oh, it would be amazing. Just blessed to have a horse like him in the barn.
What makes him so good?
He's just a gutsy horse. He tries hard all the time. He's big, strong. He's got the mind of a racehorse. You know, that's his life. You know, he's so focused when he goes to do his job.
Have you trained him for his whole career?
Yes, I've had him. I broke him as a baby, and then I've had him his whole life. I've had him here since he was a yearling.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Does that, Corby, does that make it maybe a little extra special for you if he can pull off this feat later this afternoon?
Yeah, it'd be really special. It'd be great for the owner, Dr. Sinatra. You know, he owned Admiral's dad, and he bred the horse. So it's like 100% connection for him. So it would be, you know, really special. I think he's the only person to win the Maryland Million who owned the stallion and the mare and had the offspring win the race. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Talk about Dr. Sinatra a little bit and what he means to the Maryland breeding industry.
He just brings a lot of compassion and focus. He has a bunch of mares. He supports the industry. He's always, you know, striving to do good. And we're just, you know, he bought a farm here in Darlington, Maryland, and you know, this is the hub of his whole operation. So, you know, he's in it. He plays the game with two hands.
That's great to have a client like that. How many horses does he breed every year?
We breed about 15, maybe. We have some mares that stay in Kentucky, and then we have mares here in Maryland. They're all over the place.
How about for you, Corby? I mean, looking back on your career, you know, obviously this is a big horse for you. You come in here looking to make some history later today. How about for you? What would it mean to Corby to pull off a win here?
Oh, it would just be so special. I was born and raised here in Maryland, and to do something like this in Maryland for the Maryland stud farms would just be amazing. I can remember going to see the Maryland Million when it was at Pimlico years and years ago, and it would just, you know, everything would kind of come full circle. It'd be pretty amazing.
When did you first know that this was what you wanted to do for a living?
When I was in high school, I worked on a breeding farm, and we broke some babies there, and I got really into it, and then I started working at the track, and once I started doing that, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I don't know, the action, the excitement, once it gets in you, it's pretty much hard to get rid of.
Yeah, it seems like high school is the hinge for a lot of people getting into the horse business. I don't know if it's because you don't want to go to high school or you just really like the horses, but it was kind of the same for me. I started doing a few odd jobs at the track when I was in high school, and I really got into it, and it's never left me. I think when you start out young like that, you have a real appreciation for what goes on at the track and the lifestyle that you're choosing.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of lifestyle. You know, it's a 7-day-a-week lifestyle. But everything works out for the best, and you know, you become used to it. And, I don't know. It's just the way life is.
Corby, walk me back through the last two victories in the Maryland Million Classic. Of course, the first one coming in 2015 when he wins it by a neck after being in front by, what, five in the stretch and then holds on to win by a neck. And then last year he wins it by open lengths. Take me back through each of those. Start with 2015.
2015, I said to the boss, let's, you know, put him in there and try it. And I think we cross-entered him on the turf. And we went in there just with hopes of running good, you know. And when he turned for home, I can remember Jan Sinatra saying to me, he's going to win it. And I kept on telling her, the finish line isn't here yet. They're coming at him. you know, turning for home, I just started getting nervous because of the long stretch run. But it was pretty amazing, you know, to win my first stake race. And it to be of that caliber, it was pretty special.
Did you kind of know that you had it at the wire? Like I say, the margin was only a neck. Did you know that you held on?
No. I was kind of sweating it a little bit. I knew that when horses run at him, where when he's in front, when they run at him, he tends to push forward. You know, he doesn't like hearing them come at him. So I knew he was going to keep on running to the wire, but I just didn't know if he was going to get there first. So that's how that year ended up, which was great. The next year, we gave him the winter off like we had been doing, and we brought him back, and he just came back stronger and more focused than he was the year before. So going into the race last year, I was confident, but I was a little bit more confident of what he was going to do. I knew if he broke good and things went his way going into the first turn that they weren't going to catch him. We had done some other stuff with him, and he just kept on thriving on what we were doing with him. And, you know, he did what he did pretty easily. He was doing really good last year.
Talk about that for a second, the adjustment from year to year. Bobby Frankel always said, you know, horses aren't the same. You do one thing with them, and then they change, and you have to change with them. Talk about what a trainer goes through as he's adjusting the schedule for a horse from year to year.
Well, every horse is different, and they don't always run the same way when you do the same things to them. So you're always, like, trying new stuff or tweaking it a little bit, and you want to keep the animal happy and, you know, healthy and sound. And I think when you go into a big race and you have a happy, healthy horse, you have a big advantage where if you just have a horse going in there. You know, it's a mental game too as much as a physical game. So I always try and just keep them happy, and, you know, you want them to peak on that day. That's the day they have to peak. It's not peaking in the morning. There's no money in the morning. You just got to get them to peak that afternoon.
Visiting with trainer Corby Chiesa here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Corby, I don't often do this, but I'm going to ask you point blank. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Chiesa?
It's Chiesa.
Chiesa, okay. We weren't too far off. Wanted to make sure we at least had that one right for you. Corby Chiesa here on the Equine Forum. All right, Corby, so you go for three in a row this year, but you're going to break from the inside post. Now, when you won it in 2015, you came out of post seven. Last year, it was post three. You move inward to post one this year. The favorite in the race is not Admiral's War Chest. It's the horse just to your outside in post two, John Jones. Size up the competition for me a little bit.
Well, that's one thing that makes me nervous. My horse is a real big horse, and he just fits in the gate. There's no room for him to sit back on the doors and push forward. So his second jump coming out of the gate is his best jump, where a lot of horses get a real good first jump. So having the speed of John Jones next to me is not going to benefit me at all. I really need to get out of there. You know, he's got to break the best he can, and, you know, I have to have position coming out of the first turn for things to be successful. It's the luck of the draw. It is what it is, and we just have to do the best we can with what position we drew. So,
and you're going to try and do it. You're going to try and win this race for the first time without jockey Taylor Hall in the saddle.
Yeah, but me and Steve Hamilton have been friends since I was 16, 17 years old. So we talk a lot, and he rode the horse the other day, and we had a long talk about different things that he likes and a couple adjustments to how we're going to do things. And I don't think it'll be a problem at changing rider. And it would, it would be special if I won it with him. You know, I can remember driving him to the track, when I was working on the track when he rode out of town. So, it'd be a special thing if the two of us won the race together.
Yeah, it's nice when you have a special relationship with a rider that understands how you train and what you're trying to accomplish. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, there's kind of like a bond together. And, they know where you're coming from. And it just makes life easier, I think.
Well, Corby, all of our guests who appear on the program receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Of course, you can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. And we're just going to go ahead and ask you, what is it about this sport that really makes you embrace the race, Corby?
I think it's the excitement of it, whether you're racing, buying, or selling. It's just there's a special energy to it that really gets you. It's something, every day you want to feel that energy. You walk in the barn, and when you have special horses in the barn, you can feel the energy of the horses in the barn. It's a special feeling. I think that's what makes me come to work every day.
Yeah, well said. If we could bottle that, this sport would be so easy to market, wouldn't it?
Yep. Well, it's a roller coaster of a sport too, so.
Yeah, well,
it has its highs and its lows.
Let's hope that roller coaster ride is a good one for you this afternoon, my friend. Thank you so much for being with us here on the show. Good luck with Admiral's War Chest. Go make some history.
All righty. Thank you very much.